Everyone, welcome back to Beta Finch. I'm Alex, here with Jordan, and today we're digging into Chevron's second quarter 2026 results. Before we get into it, quick disclaimer, this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
And there's a lot to get into here, Alex. Chevron really came out swinging this quarter.
They did.
Let's start with the headline numbers. Chevron reported earnings of $12.1 billion, or $6.11 per share. Adjusted earnings came in at $12 billion, or $6.06 a share. And CFO Eimear Bonner said that was up $9.2 billion versus last quarter.
That's a massive jump quarter over quarter. And it wasn't just a one-line item story. Upstream earnings rose on higher realizations and liftings. Downstream got a boost from stronger refining margins. Basically, both engines were firing.
Right, and production tells the same story. Global upstream production grew more than 5% sequentially. In the U.S. specifically, they hit a new record of nearly 2.1 million barrels of oil equivalent per day, plus record refinery throughput over 1 million barrels per day.
What stood out to me operationally was Tinge's Kevroil in Kazakhstan. Production was up 170,000 barrels a day versus first quarter. Management called it some of the best months they've ever had there. And they actually debottlenecked the third-generation plant, bumping nameplate capacity from 260,000 to 320,000 barrels of oil per day.
That's a real engineering win. Low capital, high payoff. Let's talk cash and the balance sheet because this is where things get interesting for shareholders. Cash flow from operations excluding working capital was almost $20 billion. Adjusted free cash flow was $15.4 billion.
And they used that firepower to pay down over $8 billion in debt. Net debt to cash flow from operations is now just 0.6 times. That's a really strong balance sheet position.
They also hit a cost-cutting milestone 6 months early, $3 billion in annual run rate structural savings since 2024, with over 70% of that coming from actual efficiency gains rather than just layoffs or one-time cuts.
That's the more durable kind of savings, too. Now, let's talk about the big strategic story here. The Hess acquisition just hit its one-year anniversary, and it sounds like it's going better than planned.
Way better. They captured 50% more synergies than originally targeted, $1.5 billion realized, 6 months ahead of schedule. And CEO Mike Wirth emphasized Guyana is a world-class asset that should extend high-margin oil growth into the 2030s.
They're also finding upside in the Bakken they didn't fully appreciate before, drilling laterals 28% longer on average, maintaining production with one fewer rig. Sounds like Hess brought some operational know-how Chevron is now leveraging across the whole shale portfolio.
Now, here's the part that really caught my attention, the power business. Jeff Gustafson, their new energies president, talked about Project Kilby, a 20-year take-or-pay power purchase agreement with Microsoft for 2.67 gigawatts of behind-the-meter capacity to support a data center complex.
This is Chevron essentially becoming a power supplier to AI infrastructure. And it's not small. They called it the only multi-gigawatt scale project of its kind that's actually secured long-term customer commitments. Expected mid-teens returns and cash flows that are independent of commodity price cycles, which is a really attractive diversification angle.
Wirth was pretty clear this isn't a one-off. They're already in advanced talks on additional power projects with other customers, leveraging their natural gas portfolio and project execution experience.
Let's touch on some of the geopolitical stuff that came up in Q&A because there's real risk here investors should know about. The CPC pipeline in Kazakhstan, their primary export route, has seen intermittent disruptions tied to the Ukraine-Russia conflict and activity near Novorossiysk.
Wirth said the pipeline is currently flowing, they've been loading ships, and they have mitigation options, shipping across the Caspian, rail, storage buffers. He sounded confident it won't face an extended shutdown, but it's clearly a watch item.
Similarly, There was discussion about Middle East tensions and the Strait of Hormuz affecting refined product markets. Worth noted, middle distillates, especially diesel, are tight right now, and that's pushing refining margins and cracks wider. That actually helped Chevron's downstream and chemicals business, CP Chem, this quarter.
Right. CP Chem had a big jump in earnings because it's primarily an ethane cracker based in North America, which is advantaged when Middle East naphtha supply gets constrained.
On the growth front, Worth laid out a pretty ambitious opportunity set. Expansion in Iraq at West Qurna, 2 in Nazariya, potential renegotiation of the Tengiz Kevril concession, exploration wins in Namibia, Egypt, and West Africa, and continued growth in Venezuela, where their joint venture production is up 15% over 6 months, and they're targeting 50% growth by the end of 2028.
And through all of this, they reaffirmed their 2030 targets, 2 to 3% annual production growth, adjusted free cash flow growth averaging more than 10% per year, and 3% plus improvement in return on capital employed, all assuming flat commodity prices lower than today's.
So what does this mean for investors going forward? I'd say the through line here is discipline paired with optionality. Chevron isn't chasing growth for growth's sake. The Permian, Guyana, and other core assets are being run for free cash flow, while they're stacking up a long list of future growth options. Power, exploration, Iraq, Venezuela, Argentina's Vaca Muerta.
And the balance sheet gives them room to be patient and picky about which of those options they actually pursue. That's a pretty different posture from the growth-at-all-costs shale era a decade ago.
Before we wrap up, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Great breakdown, Jordan. We'll be watching how Kilby progresses toward its final investment decision later this year, plus any updates on Iraq and the CPC pipeline situation.
Should be a busy back half of the year for Chevron. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next time on Beta Finch.
Take care, and we'll see you next episode.